Living Community.
Welcome to Our Living Community. I'm Otto van der Walt, and this Fine Music Radio feature is brought to you by the realtors who care about your environment, Remax Living Cape Town. This week's episode is all about technology and how the Volunteer Wildfire Services firefighters use simple devices to fight fires and communicate important information to help manage and direct not only current fires, but also future fires. Lee Kleinans and I are still sitting by a stream in the Newlands Forest, and you might even be able to hear a small frog in the background.
If you're a big nerd, it's a great space to unleash that in. A lot of us are very into our weather systems and patterns and that kind of thing, and it's a super interesting space to be in as well. We work very collectively as a team to gather data, and we're in a very privileged position to have things like GPS on our phones and offline mapping abilities on apps and that kind of thing to make sure that we can get to where we're going safely. So our phones are a massive tool, and obviously they need to be used safely and within certain limitations on the fire line, but they do allow us to provide our planning team with adequate resources to be able to map the fire line in an effective way. So things like crew leaders sending photographs of the fire at a certain time and then how that has evolved 20 minutes later, an hour later, 3 hours later, in the same location, that kind of thing is very valuable. Dropping GPS location points to the planning team as well, giving updates on what the wind speed is, what the humidity is, what the temperature is, all of that data then gets fed back to the planning team, actually primarily via WhatsApp. But we do use radio communication quite significantly as well. And then the planning team is basically a team that sits in an office during an active operation and takes that data and begins to map the fire line. So we actually do use Google Earth quite a lot, and we do use it in quite a specific way to make sure that we're mapping the fire line and all the resources that are on the line at any given time. And that then in turn helps us fill in all of the sort of various forms and paperwork that are required by the greater sort of incident management team to be able to go into the next operational period with enough information for those firefighters to then be prepared with what's potentially happened during the night or on the previous shift and what we're predicting to happen. A big part of that is then saved for future fires, for either training purposes as well as fires in that same area in potentially a year or 2 years or 5 years or even 10 years time, to then go, okay, this is the last time that this area burnt. You know, there's maybe potentially limited growth in this area, so we can expect the fire to behave in a particular way, or this area has not been mapped as having burned in the last 10 years. Which means it's definitely ripe to burn, and we can expect some significant fire behavior that we need to prepare for from a safety perspective. It also helps us inform what resources we need to take with us on the line. Things like, you mentioned the things that we need to whack the flames out with. So we have different tools that we use for that. Our two primary tools are called a beater and a rake hoe, which is basically like a rake on one side of it and then a hoe on the other side of it. And how the fire is behaving will determine what the sort of ratio is of those two tools that our crew will take. So if a fire is very active with flames, lots of flames, then we will sort of rely more heavily on the beaters. If we're going in there and there's very thick, dense vegetation that, you know, roots need to be pulled up and that kind of thing, then we'll swing more heavily towards the rakes. And that data that we have used the technology to compile then informs our firefighting efforts on the ground. We also rely on mapping of things like where the fire hydrants are, whether a hydrant has recently been deemed not in service. The last thing you want to do is urgently need access to water and then you get to a hydrant and it's not working. So we map all of that data so that when we do need urgent access to something, we have it available for us and we can use that effectively. Something else that we do quite a lot during training season is map the area so that we have quite extensive local knowledge, other than us getting accustomed to where certain things are and certain paths and that kind of thing, where safe zones are, escape routes, etc. We also take note of where a path has maybe washed away, or a jeep track is no longer available for 4x4 access or something like that, so that when we need to urgently make our way there for a fire, we know, okay, this road is no longer safe to use, we'll have to take an alternate route. So technology plays a massive role in our day-to-day operations as well.
It's the data that is valuable, right?
Yes.
Because that helps you be prepared before going into it to have all the right things, because if, you know, most of these fires would be in the wild, you can't just quickly dispatch an extra tanker or an extra couple of beaters.
Yes.
You have to have them with you.
Exactly. Resources is a major one, and then learning is another one. We have a huge culture of accountability, not only in the VWS, but in the sort of firefighting fraternity as a whole. You can always do something better next time. And if you have the data, you can come back afterwards, have a debrief and go, what went right? What went wrong? How can we do better? And it's that culture of constantly acknowledging that there's always something to learn that keeps us safe and make sure that we can constantly keep improving as well.
I find it interesting to learn that the most important tools that you use to fight a fire with is not a helicopter, but it's actually a beater and a rake and a hoe.
Yeah, look, these things are expensive. Ultimately, there are massive costs involved in firefighting. It's human resources, it's technology, it's vehicles, and it's choppers, which we also have limitations on. Especially here in the Cape, the helicopters can't fly at night. It's much too dangerous. We're also limited by extreme winds. If it's too windy for a chopper to fly, that doesn't mean we can all pack up and go home and let the fire burn. The wind in the Cape in summer is pretty famous for her behavior. So we have to make sure that we're always on and always ready. The choppers are a huge privilege for us to be able to work with as well. And we've got some fantastic partners that we work with during the high fire season. There have been sort of multiple governmental and non-governmental partners that we've worked with over the years and continue to have a fantastic relationship with. But yeah, I think it's really a sort of universal effort, and it's very interesting to be there on the ground and see how the ecosystem evolves. Even with the choppers, they'll come in, do a drop, and then the firefighters will go in and tackle the rest, where either the water didn't drop or there was a bit of rotor wash that created a flow of oxygen that might have fueled some of the other flames. So it's very much a ecosystem that requires the efforts of both sides. And we're very grateful for the choppers when we do have them. But at the same time, when we don't have them, there's no excuse for not being able to get the fire out. The other thing is that not all resources are always available at all times. Most of the sort of off-season, our winter, the choppers are up in the north fighting fires in Gauteng, Nelspruit side, and will only return for our high summer season. The fires that have happened in September, October now, we either had to call helicopters in from further afield or manage to suppress the fire without them. So it's very important that those skills are honed and that we're able to do that without them as well.
Yeah, and I think your network of resources has to be quite extensive. I didn't know that the same helicopters that are here in the summer, the rest of the year obviously working in the north, as you
yeah,
said.
Yeah, they never sleep and they have been going for a long time. The helicopters are a very reliable machine and it's an incredible response to watch. When it's our off season, they're up still fighting fires where it's necessary. It's very dry up in winter in the north, and then they come back here for our high fire season. And then there's other resources that are often unavailable. Something like water is a massive privilege to have on a fire line in the Cape. You wouldn't say that now with the river flowing behind us, but it's often a big hike, a big trek up into the mountains, and you're not going to have access to a road or a tanker where a tanker can come up and bring you water. There might not always be a river where you can attach a pump and a hose line to. It might be very steep terrain that there's not going to be enough pressure to push water up. So you have to kind of come to terms with the fact that you're going to have to get dirty and get in there. But it makes it even sweeter when you do have access to water and you can go and have a bit of a good time with it.
That was Lee Kleinans from the Volunteer Wildfire Services. To learn more about the organization, please visit their website, vws.org.za. Remember, the number to report an emergency, like a fire, is 112 from your cell phone. The extended version of this and previous episodes are now available from the podcasts page of our website, fmr.co.za. Our Living Community is broadcast every Wednesday morning at 7:15 on Mike's Classic Breakfast. This fine music radio feature was brought to you by the professional realtors who care about your environment. Remax Living Cape Town.